Shall we pray? Almighty God, as we come to your word and listen again to the gospel, we pray that we would be affected by it and beware of the traps that are laid by our own flesh and by the devil, and avoid the sins that are native to our disposition. Show us our hearts, and then cleanse them, we pray, by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our text tonight is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Paul has been commanding us in this chapter to walk by the Spirit, not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, that is, to the law. Paul's made the point that if you rely on the law, Christ will be of no benefit to us. If you're going to rely on works, you don't have the works of Christ in your favor anymore. You're trying to please God, and you can never do it perfectly. It simply ruins the whole purpose and power of the gospel in your life if you go back to trying to earn God's forgiveness by keeping the law or by any work. And now Paul says, in summary, in beginning of verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Let me ask you a question. If today you were to be arrested for the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In verses 16 through 24, Paul is telling the Christians in Galatia to examine themselves for this evidence by showing them evidence first that would prove that they are not Christians. In the next section, he'll show the evidence that they are, but this is evidence that shows they are not Christians. And this is a vital test. In our text this evening, he's examining the evidence that, if true of these Galatians and true of us, would mean they are not saved. It is our responsibility, each one of us, to measure our faith and life to see if there is any danger that we are not justified believers and not saved because we are not really trusting in Jesus. It all depends upon whether you live as one controlled by the Spirit or by your flesh, your fallen nature. If you're trusting in Jesus, you won't do these things as readily. I don't say they don't happen, but you won't do them as readily. If you are seeking to be saved by what you do, you're going to find these things prevalent in your life, possibly controlling your life, because that's what your fallen nature looks like. Notice first that Paul says there's a basic conflict that we face as professing Christians. There are two powers at work in every person who claims to be a Christian. He says that in verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit," that's one power, "and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh," that's the other power. There's the Spirit and the flesh. The first is the Spirit, who by his word and sanctifying work seeks your obedience to God's law and to conform you to a Christ-like life. The second power is the flesh, which opposes the Spirit and seeks to frustrate the desires of the Spirit and conform you to a life of sin. Paul pointedly relates this to the question of the place of the law in the lives of the Galatians. If you are a Christian, the law is not the issue. The real issue is, are you living the free life of service to God and your neighbor, guided by the law rather than seeking justification by it? Remember what he said in verse 14. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you are seeking by the power of the Spirit. To love your neighbor as yourself, you're fulfilling the law by the Spirit's power, not by your own power. So the real issue is, are you living the free life of God, of service to God and your neighbor, guided by the law rather than seeking justification by it? Verse 14 is what mentions that. Now notice the dynamic that Paul describes here in verse 17. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You see, he says in verse 16, walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. And the reason that's important is because the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. There's a war going on here between those two. It's a spiritual battle that goes on in the heart and mind of every professing Christian. Your flesh desires to do the things that the Spirit hates. We'll get into this in just a bit. Meanwhile, the Spirit desires that you do the things he loves. That's verse 16 again. So Paul describes the contrast in verses 19 through 23. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he sums up the difference in verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so what Paul is in sum telling the Galatians is this, that keeping the law will not bring about the fulfillment of what the Spirit desires. And in the end, it will actually send you out to fulfill the desires of the flesh in violation of the law. If you're trying to control your own behavior, if you're trying to stop sinning on your own power, if you're trying to earn your salvation, if you're living out of your own strength, you're simply going to keep violating the law of God as long as you stay in that mode. Because Adam sinned and you sinned in him, you are by nature a lawbreaker. And if you remain in this condition, verse 21 says, God will condemn you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, let's see in more detail what the life of one who follows the desires of the flesh rather than the Spirit looks like. In verses 19 through 21a, Paul lists no less than 15 examples of the deeds of the flesh, a devastating and horrific summary of violations of God's commandments. First, the seventh commandment against adultery and sex outside of marriage in verse 19. He's speaking of general sexual immorality, impurity, and unclean eroticism. In verse 20, the first part, verse 20a, he's speaking of the first and second commandments against worshiping other gods, idolatry, sorcery, using drugs to accomplish something that only God can do, trying to control your own life and the lives of others, and in effect, replacing God with yourself. And then in verse 20b, he addresses the sixth commandment against murder and the command of Christ to love your neighbor. Verse 20b, outbursts of anger. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. And once more, in the first and second commandments against worshiping other gods, in verse 21a, envying, drunkenness, and carousing, and things like these means indulging your flesh and serving yourself, not God. You are commanded to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But in this list, Paul shows that those who follow the desires of the flesh really hate God and his ways and really hate their neighbor. And Paul makes it very clear, doesn't he, what this means for the eternal condition of any professing Christian who is guilty of these sins. For this is what the flesh loves to do. It hates the things God loves and loves the things God hates. And in the end, this will lead to eternal damnation. 21b, again, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll inherit hell, really. He's telling us that seemingly good things of seeking justification by keeping the law leads to the violation of the law. The more you seek to keep the law to be saved, the more you're going to violate it. Fallen man wants nothing to do with obeying God's law, just the opposite. Fallen man revels in breaking the law of God. Read 21b again. I think it's important you understand that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He is telling us that the seemingly good thing of seeking justification by keeping law leads to the violation of the law, because he'll break it. Live like that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You'll be damned by the just God for all eternity in hell. The bottom line for Paul and for us is there's but one way of salvation and one way only. Trust in Christ and his perfect obedience to the law in your place. He and he alone has kept it perfectly. He kept every precept, did everything God commanded man to do, and refused to do anything God forbade man to do. And then he took the punishment you and I deserve for not keeping every precept perfectly, by being himself cut off from God for your sin and dying for it. Now, to be clear, faith in Christ does not mean you can now forget about obeying the law of God, that you don't have to be careful. It doesn't mean that at all. Because the Spirit was given to change you into a person who loves and wants to obey his law. You desire to fulfill it. And it's every jot and tittle, even as you know you cannot, because that is what the Spirit desires. Again, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. And so, with Paul in Romans chapter 7, it is your constant grief that when you want to obey the law, sin frustrates you. Paul said, I see that when I want to obey God, when I want to repent of sin, when I want to do right, sin is right there taking a hold of me, and I find I'm doing the things I don't want to do. And so, if you're trusting in Christ alone, you're driven to fulfill the desires of the Spirit in verses 22 through 24. Which we'll deal with next week, but I'll read it now. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and its desires. If you are trusting in Christ, the Spirit gives you the desire with all your heart to please the Spirit, to glorify Christ, to love the Father by obeying him. You will find if the Spirit is, you're walking in the Spirit, you're grieved when you fail. But when you succeed, you know it is by the grace of the Spirit of Christ, and he gets all the glory. And thus you glorify God by walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by your own power, but by relying on the Spirit's work in your heart and life. You see, the Galatians were deluded to the extent that they bought the lie of the Judaizers that they could keep the law and be justified by doing that. That lie was putting them in danger of forsaking Christ and losing their souls, and it was a real danger. Are you safe from that danger? Ask yourself this question, do I walk by the Spirit and show that I do by trusting in the finished work of Christ to produce a life conformed to him and his obedience over the course of your life, by the Spirit's power? Or do I still think I can contribute anything of my own works to my salvation? My dear friend, if you want to go to heaven and be with Christ for eternity, repent of trusting in yourself and trying to keep the law on your own. Trust in the perfect work of Christ's obedience and death instead, and rest in his salvation. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the mercy of grace, grace found in Christ alone. May our faith ever be in him and him alone, that we might walk by the Spirit and not by our own strength or by the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.